Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Swung on, hit deep, right field. That one is long gone as Bryson Stott has cleared the stadium. He has hit one out of Steinbrenner Field. A mammoth three-run home run to right field, and it's a one-run game.
Well, terrific job by the Phillies coming back last night. They were in a 5-1 hole and, of course, win that game in the end with two runs in the 10th inning, pushing them over the top to get the W. They're now a game and a half back of the Mets.
They claw their way back, Joe. There was a guy who just had a Spuds McKenzie service dog here, Joe.
Okay.
I've never seen. You know, you remember Spuds McKenzie.
No.
You don't remember Spuds McKenzie?
Joe, you
original, just assume that I don't know.
Hold on.
Any
Devin got mad
reference.
At me earlier for assuming that she had seen Bull Durham.
We were
shocked. Assumed that she knew who Crash Davis was.
Should have.
Yet she got upset. She was like, wait a second. Can someone remember I'm not as old as you are?
I did get mad.
Well, John, you hadn't seen until like 5 years ago the Dirty Dozen. It would be a similar sort of.
Yeah, Dirty Dozen is not the same.
Yes, it is. Because
no, it's not. Because Bull Durham is a 1985 classic.
88.
The
Dirty
88. Okay, 1988.
I was not born yet.
The Dirty Dozen is like 1967.
Okay, well, you were born in 1974. It's not that off.
Well, it was. It is different.
No, Devin's had a tough week around here. I'm going to stick up for
it. I was a young kid who could say,
oh,
I want to go watch Bull Durham. As a kid.
Devin, I felt kind of bad Wednesday.
You didn't feel that bad. You piled on pretty hard.
We kind of clobbered you, you know?
It's okay.
Then again, you kind of clobbered yourself.
I did.
You created the mess.
But, I did.
You
know.
Definitely.
Hey, by the way,
hold on.
What?
There's a Spuds McKenzie service dog.
And?
Walking around here,
it's
and I
cool.
thought that was awesome.
That
I've never
cool.
seen the Spuds McKenzie. I don't even, you know, that type of dog, mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. breed of dog.
What kind of breed? What is it?
It's the, I'm not exactly sure. It's some sort of.
Some kind of terrier.
Terrier,
right? Yeah, okay.
Like a bull terrier, but not English bull terrier or something. Maybe is the name.
Yeah, it's not it's a pit bull, but it's a terrier.
It's got the face.
I just
that's
don't know how
long.
I missed this. Yeah. I did not see
the
a dog.
Long snout.
I did not see a dog walking around.
It's Spuds
here.
McKenzie.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so drop of the week not happening this week is when Seltzer's not here. Things kind of fall apart. But you know we're doing our best. By the way, Dan.
That
Wilson.
Was quite an. Admittance.
Dan Wilson, great job back there. I mean. Total upgrade.
You really think things fall apart when Seltzer's
well,
not
I mean,
around? Because that is a slap in Dan's face. Really? Like,
and
are you
faces.
Saying good job, Dan, right after you say well, things say, fall apart when Seltzer's
new,
not around?
New rule.
On
when Seltzer leaves, we're doing Beat the Hammer. No more of this nonsense. I mean,
what nonsense?
What's wrong with pop culture Beat
no,
the
we
Hammer?
No, we can
we
do that
did
also.
Beat the Hammer.
We could do two, but I mean, we should have
we did a sanctioned Beat the Hammer today where you lost.
I'm just saying, 7:45, we should have the real thing. But by the way, no drop of the week today without Seltzer. It's brought to us when it does happen by Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination. All right, so interesting development from the world of college football. Rhea's got some information for us in the last half hour. Rhea, what are we looking at?
So just posted to the New York Post. You remember Pablo Torres worked for ESPN for a long time.
Yeah.
He's got his own podcast like everybody else does. So this morning, his podcast, they've done an in-depth investigation into the whole Bill Belichick Jordan. By the way, it's Jordan Hudson. I've
really?
Learned. It's not Jordan. Okay. It's Jordan.
Okay.
That UNC has banned her
wow.
from the facilities. She is no longer allowed on the football field or inside the football facility. And that family members are deeply, deeply concerned. Remember I said, I wasn't joking when I said there needed to be a wellness check?
Yeah.
They are deeply concerned.
Well, that part I'm sorry to hear about. The part about her getting banned, you know, these things can get legal, obviously. And if she was speaking on behalf of the football program without authorization, they have the right to ban her. Look, let's be real. It all sets up to, I would think, a not long-lasting marriage between UNC and Belichick.
No.
Because when you that quickly ban someone's girlfriend.
Well, the problem was video got out of her, like, basically on the football field during practice.
Yeah, that's like, what I saw. Interrupting a huddle. Running
in high heels.
And stopping the action.
Yeah.
While Bill is talking to his coaches and players.
Can't have that.
She's interfering. This is incredible. I can't believe we're here. And I am really concerned, Joe, that idea that his family is concerned.
I doubt it's gotten that bad, but we'll say.
Well, Joe, aren't both of his sons on his staff there? At least one of them, I believe, is.
I don't know. When he spoke on that CBS show, I thought he sounded very coherent. I mean, do I think the guys,
they're concerned about, because, I mean, all of a sudden she's got $9 million worth of real estate in Boston. I think they're concerned
her hooks into him and he's being taken advantage of. Not that he's deteriorating intellectually so much that he's being taken advantage of.
Well, I'll say this then. You ready?
He's in love with her and she's taking him for a ride.
Then that's his fault.
It sure is.
If he's right of mind and chooses to do it, that's his decision.
If it's all that stuff, but the problem is she was inserting herself on the field.
Yeah.
And that's where it was just like, what are you?
And again, legally, because, a lot of times you don't want to pull the legal card. But if you're North Carolina, you can't have her.
She's not an employee.
She can't be emailing responses to things that are football matters and she doesn't work for the football program.
Exactly.
I mean, it's legally not appropriate. It's just not.
It's just the wildest story ever.
Yeah, it's quite a developing story. All right, we're going to get to what the MLB Network said about Kyle Schwarber yesterday. Big praise there. Phone calls on everything we're discussing today, including the Phils that got another win last night. And again, your chance this hour to win Metallica tickets. Give us a great fictional mom. Chuck and Cherry Hill. Chuck, good morning.
Boy, wow. Man, talk about blockbuster.
I mean, now you wonder whether Belichick even coaches one game.
That's a great point
for North Carolina.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, if they're going to make a move, it's going to have to happen real soon. What you're talking about is going to come to fruition.
Good.
John, they're having spring practices right now, right?
Yeah. This is you got to make a move. If he is not going to be able to keep this thing together, and it feels like it is teetering on the verge of falling apart as we speak.
It does feel that way.
If you really do have to consider moving on already.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Yeah. Chuck, what do you got today, buddy?
We had a sports dinner the other night, and the general consensus was, how much longer is North Carolina going to tolerate this? And then you get that announcement today. I mean, you ever share with a girlfriend saying you're not going to answer that?
And here's the other thing, Chuck. A lot of times these are the kind of moves to get someone to resign so you don't have
you
to pay them out.
Yeah. That's the way it's going to play out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Probably going to lead to a settlement would be my guess. Financial settlement.
Happy Mother's Day to everybody. Toughest job in the world, and where would we be without our moms and everybody? Holy Toledo, what a great, great job they do. Congratulations, Zanova. I have an exact for you, Joe. We have Pope Francis stops at St. Joe's and Pope Leo attended Nova.
Yeah.
So we have a bit of a Pope back-to-back exactly there, which is pretty cool. But
pretty remarkable.
That all they do is win championships and graduate Popes. Other than that, and they may win an NBA championship with the Nova Knicks. John, real quick, Caesar Salad Place in Delaware. Vincenti, where Danny makes it tableside. And the bowl is 45 years old, handed down from his dad. It's unbelievable. Remember that name, John. If you want tableside, Caesar Salad, number one. I mean, I'm the big Caesar Salad guy. Vincenti's in Delaware, tableside. Unbelievable.
Tableside Caesar salad, it might be the best thing I've ever had in my entire life.
I'm a fan.
You got it. That's it. That's the way to go. And then he shoots the cheese. I don't know if it's Parmesan, but he shoots it from 40 feet until he makes it.
Wow.
It's
wow.
bizarre. It's bizarre fun. They were talking earlier in the show about 2 hours ago about, just to give him his rightful praise, Boone is ranked 17th all-time all-players. Not just catchers. It starts with Ozzie Smith. Then it goes to Belanger and Brooks. And he's 17th. Number one Philly.
Well, that's where when the
ever.
Guy was dogging Bob Boone earlier for his, you know, less hitting than some of the other guys. You got to factor that stuff in.
Overall, JT dominates.
By the way, did Bob Boone, I could be wrong about this, but didn't he at least for a period of time hold the record for the most games caught as a catcher in baseball history?
Yeah, he did that. He did some innocuous things. People don't talk anymore about the digging out balls. His glove dexterity, if you remember the throw in the playoff game, home plate, the way he could – position himself with his glove.
The throw from Trio, you mean?
Trio throw. And make that one-handed sweep tag.
Right.
He was very good with his glove. But then it's Rollin next. Boa third. He's 58th all-time. These are all players now. Schmidt, Utley, and Rollins. They're the guys that make the top 100 for Philly's D-War. All right?
Yeah, it sounds about right. They're the great defenders. Yeah.
1 year, Joe, Boone, throws out 58%
of the Oh, that's great, man.
58%.
And that's when they used to run more, so that's even more impactful.
You got it. What I loved last night was two things. I was so dead wrong from the onset on Kyle Schwarber, so mea culpa. This guy's having an elite year, and when he needs a single now, he can do that like last night, and he's projecting right now 50 less strikeouts for the season. Talk about a guy that is work of his craft. I mean, we are watching an elite player.
Well, it's the exact opposite of Paul George. You know, it's a guy that was on the older side when he got here, dug in and played great, and then Paul George has just been a disaster.
Joe, here's something outstanding about what you just said. I wasn't sure I was going to go there. I didn't see if time would allow me. And I'm not going to give you the things that you don't want to hear, the hieroglyphics of advanced analytics. You don't want to hear that. But Daryl Morey knows that he knows this as a GM, that there's something called win share. That's really easy to understand. It's exactly what it suggests. And his numbers are atrocious. The last 4 years, as is the baseball equivalent of war, is VORP. Those numbers are atrocious. So for him to say right now, that models well, Mr. Morey, his numbers are atrocious the last 4 years.
Yeah, and that's where you know Daryl Morey is shoveling you a bunch of nonsense yesterday with the Paul George stuff. Hey, Chuck, give me an answer for a great fictional mom.
It's probably been said. Edith Bunker, Gene.
Had not been said. Edith Bunker is a good answer. All right, let's listen to something the MLB Network said yesterday about Kyle Schwarber. I think the secret is out that he's really, really, really good. MLB Network with some praise of the Philly slugger yesterday.
Now, if you watch this show, you know the kind of player we like. Defense, base running, plays multiple positions, preferably in his prime, late 20s. So Kyle Schwarber is none of these things. Yet why do we love this player so much? Let's do a little digging in. Kyle Schwarber is in his age 32 season. He's in the final year of a four-year contract with the Phillies that has been a huge win for Dave Dombrowski in Philadelphia. Over these last four seasons, Schwarber is second in all of baseball in home runs, second only to Aaron Judge. Third in baseball in walks to Judge and Juan Soto. He is also 12th overall in total bases. Now, Schwarber has a unique set of skills which prompted the Phillies to bat him leadoff. He obviously has power, but he also has plate discipline, and he's having a career year this year.
Sure is. Puts him in a conundrum when it comes to his contracts, you know, to give him a new deal during this year or not. They're the only team that can negotiate with him right now.
Do you?
Well, it depends what it is. I don't blindly just give him a fourth year. I will still say no. I'd rather take my chances of signing him after this year than give him a fourth year and saddle the 2029 season, whatever year it would be, with, you know,
I want to reward him.
Well, you want to
I think he deserves it.
I can't get over how amazing he's been. Think of everything he's been asked to do, and he led off for us last year, and he completely transformed himself offensively. That's no small feat. And then this year, after, you know, he probably thought, okay, well, now I You know, that's not easy, but if they need me to do it again, I'm ready to go. And now it's, okay, we need you to protect Bryce.
Yeah, back.
We're going to put you at four and figure that out now. So he has. And I think he's retained some of the, I don't know, critical new additions. Like his parsimonious, his shrewd eye, like some of that stuff has maintained from leading off.
He's always had a good eye. He doesn't swing at many bad pitches.
But no. It feels like it's made him even better.
It is. And by the way, he led off the ninth inning last night. And, you know, without him getting on base, Phillies might have lost that game.
Mm-hmm. And he kept his on-base streak up.
Yeah.
Which is a wild streak, by the way. Leader. Yeah, I mean, 43
we're getting
games.
Close to mid-May.
He feels like the leader. Are people not talking about it because they just don't want to jinx it?
Well, it's not as – so it doesn't have the cachet as
yeah,
a hit streak.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It's like, just not –
all right. Well, I mean, so I don't want to jinx it, that's for sure.
No, it doesn't.
He is the leader of this team. Well, I know that Bryce is supposed to be. Schwarber is. And – I do think his performance every year of the four that he's been here, it merits reward. Like, I'm ready to give him a gift.
Joe, he'll be one of the highly sought-after free agents if they don't get it done before the end of the season. Like top three or four.
I don't disagree. I just can't.
And he'll get his money.
At this moment, I'm not giving him a fourth year. That's just me. That's where I'm at.
I think I use it for, I don't know, something when the team needs it, maybe. And I don't know how it even works, like, timing-wise with new deals in baseball compared to football.
Do it anytime you want. Do it any – it's not football, you have to think, do it by a certain point for it to count in that year's cap, something like that, like October or something, whatever that is.
Well, maybe this is something, hey, when the team's going through the dog days or something, maybe this is a little bit of an emotional lift that everyone can
use. Well, but then you don't want it to affect JT and Ranger because they're also up. So
that's the Howie theory. You're right, Devin.
Yeah, like, Like what Howie and the Eagles did this past season and recent seasons. Like, I don't know if they'll do it in season because of that.
That is a consideration.
No, but I do feel like every time he hits a home run, which is quite often, his price tag goes up
bit. Yeah, you're right. I wonder if that's a discussion that you need to have with all the guys who are ready, poised to be up.
I feel bad for Ranger because he's got to know he's gone. I see, honest to God, almost no scenario other than a monster injury for one of the main pitchers where he's going to be out for all of next season. I see almost no scenario that Ranger's back. By the way, part of it is because Andrew Painter pitched last night, pitched three innings, struck out five guys, gave up one hit, no runs. I mean, that guy's in the rotation next year. Wheeler's in it. You know, Nola's on it. Go on down the line. I mean, there's just not going to be a spot for Ranger, which is unfortunate because he's been a good fill, but it's just what it is, I think. John and Mannion. John, good morning.
Hey, guys. I had a question for Devin real quick.
Yep, what's up?
Is a dinosaur an animal?
Yes. I was about to say no. Yes, I learned that a dinosaur is an animal.
John, it's more like was an animal.
Yeah. Was an animal.
Was.
Yeah. Two Eagles questions for John. The Eagles are going to implement a fullback this year. Do you think they'll ever be getting the ball, or is he just going to be blocking as usual?
It remains to be seen how much they will implement this fullback. I'm excited to see it, but no, look, maybe a bone will be thrown his way in a preseason game at some point. I don't think he's going to be part of the day-to-day, hey, let's plan the first 15, make sure we get the fullback a touch. This is the kind of guy who I'm expecting. This might be goal line and short yardage, three plays in a game here and there, but maybe I'm wrong. I would love to see this grow into something more substantial than that.
I want to see Ty Robinson just bulldoze his way into the end zone.
That would be cool. Yeah, he's a stud. No, it's interesting. What's that?
Clowney got released. Do you think the Eagles would take a shot on him?
He's had like 17.
He's been on every team in the world, hasn't he? Yeah. And they didn't think $10 million was worth it. It was a two-year $20 million deal that they backed out of. What did he have? 5 sacks last year. We know that he's not the most focused, hardworking leader type old guy that you bring in. So he's basically, I don't know, an independent contractor.
Yeah,
he's going to get you a handful of sacks. Probably not worth. probably not worth the headache at this
point. By the way, the underrated Foles game in his career that doesn't get discussed much was when Clowney hit him. End of the 2018 season, like near the end zone or in the end zone. And Foles, that was when he stepped in for Carson and brought them back again in a season. Or brought
and
them
that
back.
Was borderline dirty too, wasn't it?
I remember we were very upset about the
well,
the
that was
hit.
The 2019 one with Carson.
No, Carson, but I
wasn't
remember.
Wasn't Clowney the one that hit him in the end zone in 2018?
You're
with
talking
the,
about
with
Foles.
The Texans, right?
Yeah, and I'm thinking that was borderline dirty too, if I remember.
I don't.
Yeah.
You know. I just remember it was a shot. I don't know if it was dirty. John, give me an answer.
Sacks are.
No, but it wasn't a sack. It wasn't a sack. I think it was like a rib shot. John, give me a great answer for a fictional mom.
Wilma Flintstone.
Oh, wow.
Wow, there we go.
Wait. Oh, yeah, they did have kids. Well, hold on. Did they?
Yeah. Yes. What? Pebbles.
Are you serious?
You know, I'm just checking because I was figuring who's Barney's kids and who's Fred's kids.
I don't remember the name.
There's
Pebbles,
a baby.
Yeah.
There's Rhea Pebbles and Bam Bam.
Okay. Bam Bam. I know Bam Bam.
I didn't remember Bam
I just
Bam.
Couldn't remember which family they were with.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pebbles
Joe,
you were right.
Exactly like.
About Clowney?
The he mom. Did hit Foles in the chest with his helmet week 16.
Yeah.
Foles missed a play. Clowney received a $40,000 fine.
Oh.
And he says death threats from Eagles fans.
Wow. And without Foles, like for lack of a better way to put it, sucking it up, the Eagles lose that game and don't make the playoffs and don't have double doink and all that stuff. That was pretty cool.
He'll throw to first again. He throws it away. Rojas gets up. He's headed for second. Now he's thinking about third. The ball in right field picked up by Jankowski. His throw is not in time. And Johan Rojas goes first to third on the throwing error by Pete Fairbanks.
That was a big moment last night. You know, the very rare two-base, added base path thing that we highlight coming back from break. But why do we? Because that was a freaking big moment. Without that, the Phillies might have lost the game. Nice job by Rojas scampering around. Hey, let's get, as we broadcast from Borgata today, to the guided door and window to the weekend. Receive 20% off all windows and doors with no money down and up to 3 years to pay off interest-free. Call Guided Door and Window. Call them today at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit goguida.com. All right, what's on tap this weekend? Well, obviously another Philly series. You just heard Rhea say in the update with Aaron Nola getting the ball tonight. I think it's been two good ones in a row from him, including his best of the year in the last start, so hopefully he can keep that going. Basketball playoffs, baseball, hockey playoffs, a lot of good stuff there. It's been very entertaining. It's going to be fascinating to see the Knicks-Celtics thing, how much the Celtics come back punching and ready to rock and roll, or the Knicks going to grab this series.
Paul Pierce did walk to work.
We got to give him credit.
Yep, he did. I didn't believe he'd do it, but he did.
And he did not do it barefoot, though, right?
I think he started barefoot, but he finished it. It would
not
have been
advisable.
But it was like seven something hours.
Matter of fact, we can play the audio. Let's listen to Paul Pierce, because when he finally got to the studio for his show, he was happy he made it, and he did man up. Let's listen to Paul Pierce yesterday.
If the Celtics lose game two at home, I promise you, I'm walking here tomorrow.
Why you got to do that?
Wait a minute.
Walking here 15 miles. I'm walking here.
I don't know, Keith. This is your friend.
In my robe.
Get your friends.
No shoes on.
Somebody save him.
Bare feet.
No.
If what?
If the Celtics lose tonight.
So that was Paul Pierce 2 days ago, and that's what he said, and we didn't think he was actually going to do it, but he pulled it off. Dan, we got this audio from yesterday? Let's listen to the truth.
I made it, y'all. We made it, y'all. We made it! Hopefully this can inspire my Celtics that we can get back in this series, man, and pull this series out.
If they see all this, these steps you ran, they better run some more steps, man.
Ooh. Man, my feet hurt, man. I need to go see a massage, happy feet, all of that.
Did you actually, because there's people saying now he's tapping, like he must have jumped in a couple Ubers or something. What do you say to that?
I'm the truth.
Atta baby.
No cap.
All right, Paul Pierce. Good job by him, man. That's nice work by him. One other thing for this weekend, obviously. Well, two things. The PGA Tour in town, and the other one is Mother's Day. Treat the moms. Take care of the moms. One thing you can get the moms. Now, you can't get it this weekend. You can't present this as a gift on Sunday, but the next week you can. Philly's Fantastic Auction is ongoing. It runs through May 18th, and there are 68 different items all up for bid at phillies.com/fantastic auction. One of them is for us to all hang out with you at the ballpark, and we'd love to do so. Mutually agreed upon date, so we'll figure out when that will be. But this season, four tickets to a Phillies game. Prior to the game, you get a tour of Citizens Bank Park. Together, we then head down to batting practice to watch batting practice. You get to see the guys with batting practice. We're right there with you. Then we head up to the CP Rankin Club for a great dinner. And then you get, you know, four tickets, as I said, front row tickets, field level, to watch the game. And you get an autographed baseball from the player of your choice on this year's club. So please, it's all for great causes. Of course, the ALS, United Mid-Atlantic Charity, and also Phillies Charities. So please consider, you know, bidding as much as you can, and maybe you can present a week after Mother's Day your mom with one of those great items. Really good stuff there. It's better stuff than some of the Daryl Morey thing. Wait till we play more of this audio. John, I think it's going to annoy you. Because let me just tell you.
Annoy is like such a gentle way to put this. Like,
yeah.
It's a lot more angry and visceral. And
right. Because just know this. I'm going to play one call and then get to one call and then we'll play it. Know this. The next two pieces of audio. Because, you know, I listened to this stuff before the show. And great job by Lewis back there today going through all this for us. So I listened to it a couple hours ago. And I have to just jot myself a couple notes so I have something to lead into it properly. Here's what I have written down for the next two things you're going to hear. Embiid contract. Tons of garbage. Next one. You ready? Garbage continues on. That's my lead-in for the next
garbage,
two things.
Comma, ETC.
Right. We'll get to that in a moment from the Sixers, Morey. Let's get to Rick and Easton. Rick, good morning.
Good work by you, Joe. Bob Boone's third on the list for most games caught behind I-Rod and Carlton Fisk. He's ahead of Yadier Molina and Gary Carter.
Yeah, he had number one for a point, and then Fisk, I think, passed him, and then obviously...
he caught 500 more games than Johnny Bench. I was surprised to see that. Anyway, real quick, John, my grandchildren, I knew as soon as they were left-handed or right-handed when they were like 3 years old. I'm shocked that your father didn't know that.
Yep. And tell me about it. I have three kids. I was waiting. I was hoping, like, just for signs of left-handedness. None of them showed any left-handedness. I would have jumped at the opportunity to put anything in their left hand properly.
And what really shocked me, I learned about you. I didn't know this. And, you know, Cumberland Valley and Central Dauphin, just like, you know, I went to Plymouth White Marsh, we were very athletic-oriented schools. After football season was over, our better players, if they didn't play basketball, went right to the baseball diamond. I'm surprised that you didn't play baseball.
No, I did track. At my high school, if you did football, you had to do track. It was a rule.
Really?
Yes. And so I ran the sprints, and I did the field events. Like, I think I went to states as a senior in the shot put.
What if you wanted to do a different sport? Like, what if you
there were guys
to
who
play
played
lacrosse?
Baseball. There were guys who played baseball, but you were encouraged to run track because it was our coach, Harry Chapman, from the early 70s on, felt like it was a big deal for the running and staying in shape and building speed.
Yeah. So, Joe, real quick, how does this city have the best owner in football, the best GM in football, and go to the worst owner in basketball and the worst GM in basketball?
Yeah.
We were told by the West Coast, do not sign Paul George. He is a disaster. But you're right. This whole franchise is a disaster. With the Phillies, real quick, isn't it a positive for us right now that we have the resurgence from Rojas and Marsh now fighting it out in center field? Boehm's slowly coming out of his funk. You know, he went from like 190 to like 245. He's slowly coming out of it. But we talked about this earlier. Leave Stott alone at the top of the order. Let's see what happens the first 30, 40 games. And with all the people that said they win more games with Schwarber leading off, that lineup is better with Stott leading off, and Schwarber hitting fourth, especially if...
Yep. But Rick, one point of clarification. Are you saying including when there's a left-handed starter? Because Trey still gets this.
I don't even care at this point. Leave him alone at the top. Leave him
alone. Well, how about this? How about they're winning both ways?
As long as they can win, do it work.
Okay, well, that's a different... You just change your answer. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not one of these people that believes they have to have only one leadoff hitter. I'm okay
with that, but right now, if Stott is holding his own against left-handed pitching, leave it alone.
Well, he can hold his own as the second hole hitter with Trey batting first against the left.
All right, well, you can flip-flop him. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Rick, give me an answer, my man, for the best fictional mom.
I don't know if it was mentioned yet. said she was a great mother. How about Marion Cunningham from Happy Days?
Has been said. Give me a different answer.
Okay, then let's go with, I don't know if you know the show, guys, but Petticoat Junction, Kate Bradley, Betty Boatnock, she also was the voice for Betty Rubble in The Flintstones.
Wow, how about that? Rick, good call. By the way, I always love those calls when someone's entrenched. Leave them there! And I'm like, well, what about when it's a left-handed pitcher? Oh, no, I'm okay with that. Yeah, move too.
Very strong opinion.
Right? Like, okay. All right, Daryl Morey went on Spike's podcast, talked about a lot of stuff. Let's get to when he gets into the Embiid contract. I will remind you in my notes from earlier today, next to what was said, I wrote down, tons of garbage. Let's listen to Daryl Morey talking yesterday.
Why was it a good idea to sign Joel Embiid to the extension when he had years left on his contract?
Yeah, I just think if we're winning the title, Joel Embiid's on the team. I think it's important how these top players, and Joel's going to be one of the top players all time, regardless of how things get written from here, in terms of everyone knows how good he was in his MVP year and multiple years around that. When you go out and get a top free agent like we did with Paul, obviously, you know, people are questioning that, but you know, we thought that was absolutely the best way to maximize the window with Joel. It's pretty hard to do those kinds of moves and not have those players on similar timelines. If you have one person, you know, if you have a Paul George on a longer timeline and Joel Embiid on a shorter timeline, that doesn't work great. It was just a 2-year extension. We thought it was very logical. People talk about it being 3. It was 2 years. Doesn't seem like anyone wants to, you know, again, I just think how you treat your top level players, you know, you look at all the teams that are destinations. I think Philadelphia will be for a long time. You know, witnessed by us recruiting the top free agent last year. I think it's important how you treat the top players. And again, in any time window measured in a number of years that no one wants to talk about, the way we're winning it is with Joel Embiid getting healthy and playing at a high level with really top players around him like Tyrese and Paul.
All right, there's so much in there that bothers me. What bothers you guys the most?
Did he
every
just
time
say
you play one of his sound bites, I zone out. Like it's, I have to actively pay attention to what he's saying because he just
that's
drones
purpose.
Did he just say Philadelphia has become a destination?
Yes, he did. Also,
as
say
proven
that.
By bringing in,
yeah,
Paul George,
I have that as number
and they
two.
Will continue to be like he's saying. I'm certain that moving forward, we're now destination. Place.
All right, let me translate
that's
that
a
one.
Joke.
It's a total joke. Here's why Paul George signed here last year, because they had cap space, and the Sixers were willing to offer him the most.
And no one else is paying that. Yeah,
he said we'll be a destination for a long time, like last year. They have no cap space.
No,
they will not be a destination. And by the way, we'll continue to have no cap space for the next 4 to 5 years because of these two contracts.
It's your fault that we are not a destination and you're pretending we're a destination.
Is that nonsense?
Because I can't get over this. Because we had cap space. Like,
by the way, it's not even the worst thing you said in there, but go ahead, Ray.
No, what he basically said was we gave Joel the money because we didn't want him to be upset because we gave Paul George the money. But Devin's right. Every time he talks, it is intended
really
to, what's the word? I know I'm going to screw it up. Obfuscate?
Obfuscate.
Good word.
Obfuscate?
Yeah.
That, like, I'm just going to talk a long time and you'll forget. I listened to that for 50 minutes yesterday and I thought my head was going to explode. But
bless you for that.
In there basically saying, we gave Joel the money so that he wouldn't be upset. But that's how things work. You're up at a free agent.
And he screwed the Sixers for the next 5 years.
Franchise.
The fans.
Yeah.
Fans.
Well, yeah.
You know? All right, but here's the crazy thing. That's not even everything we just covered, the worst of what he said in there, because you're right. You can't forget this stuff from the beginning because he drones on and on. He's a droner.
Yeah.
He actually said that Joel's going to go down as one of the top players of all time, regardless of what goes on from here on out. Now think about that, guys. Like, we all know Joel's very talented, was, okay? And I got love of Joel Embiid. But top players of all time, Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Wilt Chamberlain, LeBron James, more recently here, meaning like right now, Jokic is a top 25 player of all time. Joel Embiid, guys, has never gotten to the conference finals. And I got a GM saying he's going to be one of the top players of all time, regardless of whether he does anything from here on out.
Here's the problem is
so delusional.
It's completely delusional. When Joel was healthy, which is not a lot, he could do things on the court that we couldn't see from a guy. I mean, it was special.
And I loved him.
It was generational.
It was.
All of those things. Those things have not existed for a long time.
Correct.
And they haven't existed for enough long time on a long enough stage for that statement
to
be made.
That claim is outrageous.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you think if Kobe Bryant were alive? What do you think Kobe Bryant would think of Daryl Morey saying Joel's one of the top players, quote, of all time? No, how big's our list? Yeah. Is our list 100? Because when I think of the top players of all time, I think of like 20, 15,
special
10,
players. Yeah.
Like totally difference-making players. All right, one more piece of audio from Daryl Morey. Then we got to get to Time's Yours. More of Morey from yesterday.
Let's go through the things you might want in a team as a fan. You'd want, you know, a chance to win the championship. Debatable, but for sure a higher chance than many teams. You know, I think our roster going into next year, assuming healthy, is better than the one that went into last year with the third best title. It's now you have to adjust for the fact that we had such a bad year. So that's going to push you down for sure. But I'd rather have a Grimes and a McCain and maybe whoever our draft pick turns into than what the roster looked like going into last season, which was built mostly out of free agency.
It's just
out of necessity.
What? It's just talking out of signing. It's just dumb. It's just really dumb talk. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
And full disclosure, that answer that he was just revving up there went on and on and on and on. And I don't have the patience to continue to listen to him.
No one
just
does.
Just to be totally candid. Time's yours brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
John, today's era of football, the fullback is no longer like a major position. What would you have played? Would you have been a linebacker? Did you have good hands? Could you have played tight end? What would you have played in today's era of football?
I played Mike linebacker at Stanford, actually. They switched me back to fullback when both fullbacks went down just prior to my senior year. So I definitely liked the linebacker. I'm a medium-sized guy. I was too short to play tight end effectively, but I could catch better than I could do anything else.
Would you have gotten drafted as a linebacker?
Probably.
Okay.
Okay, Daryl Morey or whatever the hell your name is. That team, you're going to run it back again? You're trying to sell that team to this city? That garbage? Yeah, okay. That team's going to be terrible. Time's yours.
Yeah. Well, if Joel can't play, they certainly will be.
At this point, the Sixers organization is beyond a disgrace. So I think we have no other choice for than Joe DeCameron to buy the team and build the Hammer Center. Could it really get any worse?
Better loan me some bucks, buddy.
The Hammer Center.
Joe DeCamry, even though that you called me a bonehead about the Goddard comment yesterday in the top three, I called today to tell you guys what a great job that you guys do. It's a pleasure to wake up in the morning and listen to you guys. Everybody does a wonderful job. The content is amazing. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you, sir. That's very, very nice. And with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The Time's Yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-238-4500.
All right, we got to move quick through a few different things here before we turn it over to Joe and Hugh at the top of the hour. First, Twitter poll question. Let's round it out. It's brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Let your journey begin in the completely redesigned 2025 Equinox from Armin Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. Visit ArminChevy.com. Poll question, who's going to win the NL East? John, do people think the Phils, the Braves, or the Mets?
Everyone's feeling good about the Phils right now. I'm going to say the Phils win this like 71%.
55 Phillies, 40% Mets, 5% the Atlanta Braves.
Wow,
time will tell. About four months and three weeks to go. All right. We got to close out Best Fictional Mom. Remember, this is for Metallica tickets. Now, they all are great options, or at least most of them. I'm going to advocate. This is just me. I'm advocating for Claire Huxtable because it's not her fault that her husband in real life was a creep.
Right.
No, I'm serious.
You're right.
Cosby Show's got to win something. Claire Huxtable.
No, not her husband in real life. Her husband. Well,
I felt like Mrs. C was a real go-to.
I love Mrs. C. I love her. But like, here's why I advocate for Claire Huxtable.
That is wholesome.
The Huxtable kids and her. All like it's like people don't even watch the show anymore because of Bill Cosby.
Well, he was the main guy.
I know, but she was great. I'm going Claire Huxtable. You guys give me your vote.
I liked Mother Earth.
Personally. I think Mother Nature's a great one.
It was Mother Nature.
Mother Nature's a great answer. That is a great answer.
All right. Are you both voting for that?
Mother Nature. Sure, but I'd be fine with
Claire Huxtable. Then Dan Wilson can break the tie.
All right. I'll give you one. I'm
Wilson,
give you
break
Claire
the
Huxtable.
Tie. Is it Claire Huxtable or Mother Earth, otherwise known as Mother Nature?
I'm going Mother Nature.
That's a shame.
Good job, Dan.
Shout out Mother Earth.
Cosby Show again gets the shaft. All right, Tom, you've won with the Mother Nature answer, which was a good one. Hey, everyone have a great, great rest of the day. You can make the case Mother Nature isn't actually fictional. Well, hurricanes are real.
Well, I don't. Okay.
Thanks, Joe.
They are real. Hey, everyone, have a great rest of the day. Thanks, everyone, at Borgata. Good stuff. Dan Wilson, wonderful job filling in for Seltzer.